All right. I won't shout, so you don't have to control the volume too much. I had a great joke, but I forgot it, so we'll have to do it without this. Sorry, guys. For the first hour of my message, no, I'm just kidding, just kidding. However, it probably scared a few of you, so keep that in mind during later in my sermon. I'm actually, it's a really privilege for me because this is a subject that's been on my heart. I was a new Christian and I was introduced to the subject about 5 or 6 presidents ago. That's kind of how I mark time sometimes. So since then, it was really impactful and it was life-changing for me. Whether it will be for any of you, it's not up to me, but I'll just do my best. So, has anyone besides me ever dreamed of finding treasure? Like, yeah, me too. Hiking, maybe? Maybe you'll be the one to find the lost gold or a diamond, you know? Maybe you've been walking on the beach and you think, I could discover a gold coin that washed up from a shipwreck. It's happened before. For a lot of you, it could be something different. On the beach, there are objects that are worth a lot of money, but none of us would recognize. It's kind of gross, but it's something that comes out of a whale. You can find about 2 pounds of it, and it's worth $15,000. And they make perfume out of it. So it's one of those things that you could walk right by a treasure and not even recognize that it has any value, right? Just like you could be hiking. Who knows if we've walked by the Lost Dutchman's gold, huh? Everybody's heard of that. Or if you walked and you walked over a rough diamond, would you even know it? I would not, you know? I wouldn't recognize it. So, get this out of the way. I think I'm accurate that we're all interested in valuable things, but we don't all value the same things. We have different ideas of what's valuable. And just a little illustration. Here I have a pack of giant Smarties. And I know the kids will get that. So if I said, you can have one of these two things, this pack of Smarties or this little piece of metal, don't raise your hand, but I think a lot of you would take these, right? This will buy over 100 of these Smarties. This is a little piece of gold. So the thing is, we don't always recognize what's valuable. So some things don't look valuable, others are hidden and have to be dug out or cut out or blasted out. And I believe that God offers us all sorts of treasures, but we have to be interested enough to even look for them. Not just to know what they are, but to even care enough to look for them. Do you guys remember when Jesus told us people not to throw pearls to pigs? I think it's because pigs don't care about valuable things. We raised pigs when I was a kid, and I looked at them a lot and observed them, and they pretty much always had their snout in the ground. Whatever was on the ground didn't matter, or they were eating and fighting. That was about it. So they had no interest in anything of value. So let's not be pigs. What I want to do today is really just to, it's kind of like to dust off what is a real treasure from God, and maybe we'll see it sparkle and be captivated by the beauty of it like you do when you see a big diamond in the light in the jewelry store when it shines even more into that. So hopefully we'll be captured by that. It's kind of, for me, it's also kind of like when you open the oven when something good is baking and the smell gets out and everybody perks up and gets interested. So that's really what I want to happen. But I got to tell you, I mean, we can have a lot of fun with it, but it's not a meal of candy and donuts. It's got some meat in it. So you have to chew. And you can chew with your mouth open, and this stuff is fine. So let's go look at some scriptures. And I've kind of designed this to so that you don't have to even open your Bible or get a tech device out. You can just follow along. If you want to look at your Bible, you can, but you don't have to. So hopefully, I think, okay, the Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness. And as we go through these few scriptures, just look, one thing is, what's the benefit being talked about here? These are big. David mentioned this one actually this morning. Who doesn't want favor from God? It's the kind of favor that overcomes all kinds of other forces. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Long life. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Doesn't that sound pretty good? This is stuff that can last your whole life and into eternity. It's an actual treasure that does not rust or get eaten by bugs or rats or mold. It lasts forever. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. How many of us have trouble sleeping or have had bad dreams or things that come against us in the night? One of these things attached to this concept. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. And this is the picture I have, is because we raise cattle too, and this is a creature that's encaged, and when you let him out, he wants to run and jump and play. He's really happy. This is a picture of us. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. I mean, these scriptures are pretty straightforward. There's not much need for me to blab about them or expand. They're very direct. And strong confidence, who doesn't want that? Constant life-giving spirit. Wow. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. You could stop right there, but let's not. Who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And I think a lot of us we talk a lot about healing here, so this is a really good concept to know and to really pay attention to. So, a couple of common themes. The benefits are pretty obvious, right? What's the concept that's in every one of these verses? Everybody recognizes the fear of the Lord, right? But I think there's another implied theme in all of these verses, and that is the extreme goodness of the Lord. To even offer all this stuff to us is just wow. So obviously from looking at this, the fear of the Lord is a good thing. Can we all agree on that? And it's something that we really want in our lives. But I need to address an objection, and I think it's a legitimate objection that everyone could have. You know, there's a song that we sing. What's it about? Being set free from fear? No longer a slave to fear, right? Okay. And then there's a very powerful verse perfect love casts out fear, right? So what's going on here? Is the Bible contradicting itself? Not at all. The thing is, all fear isn't the same. And everybody's experienced different types of fear. Like when I said my sermon is going to have at least an hour, there's a type of fear that comes up in some of you. It's just true. There's another kind. If you guys have ever scared your brother or your sister, hid behind the door and scared them, there's fear for a second and then everyone laughs, right? And then there's a kind where you almost get killed in a car accident and that sends your heart pumping and your head pumping, and there's a lot of different kinds of it. And then there's another kind when you see something very awesome or powerful and you say, whoa, and you feel, ooh. So, and you guys, there's a mixture of these sometimes in the events of life, and there's different degrees. I mean, I think some of us can be afraid to get married. Some of us can be afraid to have children. Could be the pain of having a child. There's a lot of fears. Some people crave fear, right? You guys know lots of activities where people crave it. Others feel trapped by it. For some people, it's a constant struggle that pulls them down. For some, it's debilitating, depressing. Some people fear being embarrassed, being rejected, being alone, being forgotten. The thing that I believe is that the fear that God's perfect love casts out is the kind of fear that paralyzes us and steals our hope. That's a very, very clear type that is very common, and that's it doesn't coexist with God's perfect love. But the Lord actually describes and offers a fear that is really good. It's life-giving, it can be thrilling, it's cleansing, and it's healing. The verses I picked out are a drop in the bucket. If you look in the Word, once you're aware of the concept, you'll see it hundreds of times throughout Old and New Testament. And if you see it as a beautiful thing, it can be very life-changing. Okay. Ha. Where's my daughter? Yeah, thank you, Isabel. It's exactly what I envisioned. Although at the time I didn't have a beard, that was just kind of luck that it just happened that way. But this is just an example. When I was in high school, about 18-ish, I went with a friend's family on a vacation to an island off of South Carolina. And I'd never been there before, I didn't know what to expect. And we were out on the island riding bikes on the golf course. And I saw this big thing sitting there, and way bigger than me, probably twice as long. And I was real confident and athletic and quick and all that. So I thought, I'm going to go check it out because they don't even move. They look like a statue. And so you're kind of half sure if that's even real. So I started to walk closer to it. And when I got a certain distance away, I was stunned. The thing, it just in a split second rose up and charged. So, obviously I escaped, but that wasn't enough. This time I went back and I had my bicycle between me and him, and just to kind of tease him a little bit. But the point is, I went from no fear to suddenly having a fear that I would describe as respect for this creature. There's no love, there's no desire to get to know it more. You know, it was just plain fear because of its teeth and power and appetite. Because it's like a machine that could hurt you, right? This thing doesn't care who you are. So I quickly gained respect for fear. For an alligator, but I'm not debilitated by it. I don't wake up fearing alligators. I just now know, don't get close to them. So, if we fear God only because of his power and authority and because he could destroy everything and everyone, it falls short of what he's actually talking about in the Word about the fear of God. Another one that comes to my mind, remember the parable Jesus told about the master gives his servant, three servants, different amounts of money, and he goes away. And he comes back. The one that buried it, do you remember? He said that he basically feared his master. He knew his master was powerful and had authority over him. So he feared him, but his master was very not happy with him. Why? I think it's not because the master wanted more money. He was actually trying to bless these guys. And I think it's because this guy didn't understand the intentions of his master. He didn't give his master any credit. He just plain feared him. And while I think it would be legitimate for any being in the universe to fear God strictly based on his power and authority, that's not what he's looking for in us. I mean, we know that one day every knee will bow, not willingly, but they can't help it. And that means people who don't know him, that means created beings who fell, they will bow and there will be fear, but that's not what our destiny is. We have hope. Perfect love casts out the fear of that kind of thing for us. Okay, let's take a peek. Day of Pentecost, right? Great thing happens. The Lord comes and surprise fills people with his Spirit who were not expecting this, causes them to speak in other languages. Miracles are happening. Let's take a little glimpse. I might have gotten my... here we go. What I did is Acts 2:43, I put it up in two verses. I think a lot of you like New King James, right? I like this verse, New King James, a lot. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. It's a good thing when it's a right fear of the Lord. NESB says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. It's the same concept. It's the same idea. It's just a different way of saying it in English. In Spanish, different set of words. In Greek, different set of words. But so for what we long for is the Lord moving in our midst in these ways with great power. That's a good thing. I've talked about fear. Now let's talk about hate. Uplifting message of fear and hate, you guys. And again, hate, there's different kinds of hate. There's different ways we say things, okay? I think what the Lord is talking about is similar to, have you guys played, especially the younger people, played with magnets at all, you guys? No? Have you felt it when they don't want to connect? Okay, that is what the Lord is talking about. Could be even stronger though, you know? It's two things repulsed by one another. They don't want to touch. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's a real key idea. For me, it was a real revelation because yeah, you can read all these verses about the fear of the Lord and you can talk about it means awe and respect and reverence, all these things. But what does it do in you? What does it look like in a person, you know? Well, if you fear the Lord, you're repulsed by evil. And that can be to different degrees. Julie, you might have to, there. Hate evil, you who love the Lord, who preserves the souls of his godly ones, delivers them from the hand of the wicked. But if you don't understand the type of hate he's talking about, you can just use it as a hammer to tell other people to, you know, have bad feelings. And that's not what it's all about. There was a man in the land of... I think Uz is better than Ooze, right? His name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright. And here's the key, fearing God and turning away from evil. So he was being complimented in the word because he feared God and the resulting turning away from evil. That's a good thing. If anybody doesn't understand that, we need to talk. This is bringing in the other half of the definition of the what it does to us, is to love good. I think that the emphasis is on hating evil because of the world that we live in and the tendencies that we're surrounded by towards evil, that God is focusing on hating evil. It's a real marker in our life. But it's not, I don't think it's separate from loving what's good. And here's in Romans, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Same thing, right? Pretty clear, easy message. I'm not even needed here, right? And my intention is not at all to make a list of good things and evil things or to compare lists with anyone. There's a lot of evil things that are obvious, and I think we all know that. And there's also a lot of good things that are obvious that we can be attracted to, and it's great. And the evil things that we're not attracted to. Some things can be a bit ticklish, and we need to ask for good counsel and seek the Lord and look in his word, and if we're not sure. Let me kind of illustrate it further. And don't raise your hands here, okay? But is there anyone here who likes the smell of dirty diapers? Don't raise your hands, because there could be somebody. When I say dirty, I don't mean the yellowish kind. I'm more into the greens and browns, guys. So let's be clear. It's a very strong smell. I think no one likes it because we have a built-in disgust of the smell. So we're protected by that sense that we have. It's so strong that even loving parents and couples have been known to argue about whose turn it is to change those things. No one wears perfume with that smell. And that I've seen, no one has a bathroom in their kitchen. And no one has to learn to hate that smell, right? It comes with the human package. Now, wouldn't it be great if you and I had a sense of evil so that we would, just like that smell of dirty diapers, that we would be repulsed by evil and we just don't want it in our lives? Wouldn't that be helpful instead of half the time being attracted to evil and half the time kind of saying, gee, I shouldn't, but, you know? I think it would be extremely helpful to have the same intensity. You don't debate with yourself about dirty diaper smell, about, I wonder if we should, you know, spruce the house up with that tonight. No. On the other hand, I have never met anybody that doesn't like when you're walking out somewhere or someone's in the kitchen and they're baking bread or pastry. Everyone's drawn to that. Everyone's attracted to it. So wouldn't it be great, too, if we had a built-in attraction to what's good and pure and holy and wise? So, you know, like, the fear of the Lord, hating evil, isn't just about being against things like, I'm against abortion, I'm against pornography, I'm against child abuse. It's actually the repulsion even to things that are in our own life, whether it's lying or abusing our own sexuality or someone else's, or corrupting ourselves or others by what we receive or send on our phones. Those things are the kinds of things that the real nitty-gritty about our walk with the Lord. So, knowing this is a good thing, how can we incorporate it into our life? Actually, I intend to give good news. And to me, this is all good news, but especially this. Doesn't get a lot of press, but this isn't Jeremiah, and it's actually the promise of the new covenant that we're in. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of their children, them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. So this is us in our lost state. This is when God spoke this. And so this is him. This is all him saying, I will put this in us. I really think that he's done that if we've received Christ. But then, like many things the Lord does, it continues. So, I think a good example is we need to cooperate with him when we have a repulsion to evil. Don't overcome it by justification or any other reason. Resist it. It's a good thing, you know, and embrace what's good. It reminds me of the way toddlers are when they don't want to do something. Even if the parents are trying to do something great for them, all they want to do is say no, and they won't go. And what do? They'll lay down on the ground and make you drag them or pick them up to go do something. Even if it's something they really want, they just want to resist. And I think we can kind of get like that with the Lord. Okay, now, let's take a look at what our Lord Jesus thinks of the fear of the Lord. This is in Isaiah, and this is a prophecy of Jesus, you guys, the Messiah. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Pretty exciting. Okay. This is in Hebrews, talking about Jesus. But of the Son, he says, and this is Father, Son, some back and forth, so don't get confused. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Malachi. Again, this is what does the Lord think of the fear of the Lord? Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Right there you can stop. That's pretty cool. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. I love this next line. On the day that I make them my jewels. Anyway, you can read the rest of it. It's all good news. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret, or actually intimacy, counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. So, he actually delights in it. It gets his attention. It's a treasure to him, and therefore to us. I think, it's my own opinion, but I think that the fear of the Lord is actually what makes us beautiful to God and to each other. I mean, honestly, isn't it a big thing that attracts us to each other as Christians when we're you know, it's inspiring, and there's just this sweet aroma when a Christian is living well and, you know, not going after what they shouldn't and going after what they should. It just is a very attractive thing about us. And the thing about the fear of the Lord is, I'm pretty safe here, I think, too. It doesn't get a lot of press because it's not a good marketing strategy in our world, right? You probably won't see any T-shirts about the fear of the Lord, or bumper stickers, honk if you fear the Lord, you know, or, you know, some band is not going to say that the 2019 Fear the Lord World Tour, you know. It's just not on everyone's mind. But you can see how powerful and how important it actually is. It just, you can cruise through your Bible and read and never even notice it. Because you'll notice things like the Lord encamps around those, he heals, all these things, but not that. And it's actually underpinning a lot of these things. So my hope is that we're not going to be spiritual wimps and shy away from a subject like that, but to come to God with courage and say, Lord, put the fear of the Lord in me just like you promised. I think he wants to be reminded of his promises. And it's a treasure. So my hope is, do you guys remember when Jesus, after he was resurrected, and he was walking with some guys and they didn't recognize him? And he was talking to them on the road. And it says that he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. That's my prayer for all of us. So hopefully it's inspiring to look into it. I did. And I actually went through every verse in the Bible I could find when I was like 20 years old and wrote them all down. And I think I still have it, but they're all faded now. But man, it's been impactful. And it's a constant thing. So, anyway, pray. Lord, thank you for blessing us today. I pray that your word would impact us and capture our hearts. And I pray that every single person would be uplifted and encouraged. And I speak hope over everyone right now. I speak life. And that you are all recipients of God's promises. But they didn't end in the past. They're still alive. They're still active. Just like his word is living and active and pierces as deep as it can possibly go, his promises are in his word. So Lord, bless everyone here. And I pray that you bless our time of ministry and fellowship in the food. In Jesus' name, amen.